Okay, it's good to be here this evening and all of you being here as well, and those who are live streaming. We're going to prepare ourselves in our usual fashion by having a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being here as the Bible commands us to be and to feed on your mighty word. What would we do without your word? We're so thankful that you have given us the great system of perception whereby we can understand the whole realm of doctrine. But we take it a bite at a time and just try to digest each part so that we won't miss anything. We pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this evening. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll turn in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, 2. Look up here as well. We are on going to start lesson 319, but I wanted to catch this paragraph right before we got to it because it's really reveals what a poor condition this world is in. Right at the top, there are billions of people that try to transform themselves by doing good deeds in order to be acceptable to God. I would dare say that probably at least 85% of the population of the world fits that category. Look how many religions there are. I saw something on the Muslims have 1.5 billion people on the planet. And of course they're would be in the rest of religions. Religions are going nowhere because they think that they have to do something meritorious in order to get God's attention or indeed to be saved or go to paradise or whatever their religion teaches. But they're part of the billions of people who are trying to get there by their own merit. But they always fail because they do not know that the only way to be acceptable to God is to humble themselves by putting their faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross by taking the punishment for their sins on himself. That doesn't cut any ice with them. They don't think that's any big deal. But they think what they do in doing good deeds, that's what impresses most people. You know, we grow up as children, and when you do something good, you get a cookie. You get rewarded. But when you do something bad, then you are punished. And so they think that's the way God operates too. But of course, hopefully they will learn before they take their last breath, God does not operate that way. What he operates is in his plan and faith in Jesus Christ is the only way that they can be accountable to God. And that's the way it is. But they always fail because they do not know the only way to be acceptable to God. Humble them. When I say humble themselves, there are some people that you may have in the past talked to, given the gospel to, and you ask them, maybe I'm just anything. Let's say you ask them, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I don't know. What difference does that make? they don't even think they need saving. That's the point. And so to be saved, you have to humble yourself to recognize that if you disobey God, if you don't take the grace of faith alone and Christ alone, if they don't want to humble themselves to that part, they'll wind up in the lake of fire. That's how it operates. Which nobody wants to be there. Man does not have the power or the ability to make themselves pleasing to God because they rely on good works rather than Christ's perfect work on the cross. They don't know that the Bible says that God sees our good works, the best that we can produce, as filthy rags. So, they rely on their own good works rather than Christ's perfect work on the cross that satisfies the justice of God, and nothing else in this universe satisfies the justice of God except Jesus Christ, who was the only one qualified to go to the cross. And He satisfied the justice of God by taking on our sins, dying for our sins. I just thought that paragraph had a lot in it, and I wanted to start. Now we start tonight's message. Look down at your Bibles, because I don't want to have to scroll up about 15 pages. And we're looking at verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Well, we might as well throw verse 1 in as well. Two verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we are on this phrase in verse number 2, and that is by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word for renewing is anakinosis, A-N-A-K-A-I-N-O-S-I-S. Kinosis sounds a lot like kenosis, doesn't it? It has to do with your thinking, with your mind. It's a dative singular feminine. A dative, the dative is a indirect object in grammar, and it's a singular and feminine. It means to be changed by the renewal of your mind, just like it, that's just exactly what it means, is what it says there. We have a verse to explain a little bit about this in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Now, I want you to notice, He saved us not because on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. In other words, you can do righteous deeds. You can do a lot of righteous deeds. You may spend every moment from here to the time you exit this planet and be doing deeds which are done in righteousness. And it won't make you one inch closer to heaven. Can you tell me why? Why, if a person was able to do that, why would he not make it to heaven? Because he is the one doing the doing. He's the one on his own power, which has none, essentially. It's their effort. And no one ever has gone to heaven on their own effort, ever. And so when you're talking to people and they bring up something like that, you can just say what I just said. We have nothing to offer nothing but our, even if it's righteous deeds, because that means when you are relying on your own deeds, it means you are ignoring and rejecting Jesus Christ's work on the cross. And that is the only way to be saved. So again, Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. By the way, that phrase would be great if you're talking to someone and they think, well, you have to have good works. You can't get to heaven without good works. And you could read that. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. What are they going to say about that? But according to His mercy, and that too is the only way that anybody has ever been saved, is because of God's grace and His mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word regeneration is only used two times in the Bible. And it means, needs to be like generated again. It's something that happens again. And in the translation, the two of the translation pretty much means that there is going, something is going to be changed and it's going to be redone. It's going to be regenerated. For instance, when we go into the millennium, that will be a regeneration. And renewing of the Holy Spirit. And here we have the word renewing there. So, how is your mind renewed? It says by the renewing of your mind. Well, Romans 3:5 tells us that renewing by the Holy Spirit. And I have some things I need to get to show you what that means. Ephesians 4:22-23 says, in reference to your former manner of life. Do all of y'all have a former manner of life? Anybody here that doesn't have a former manner of life? We all have. And he says, you lay aside the old self. So in reference to your former manner of life, you lay it aside, your old self. What is your old self? Your old self is who you were before you believed the gospel. That's your old self. So in reference to your former manner of life, you lay that aside, the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. And that's, we all were operating on that same thing in our old self, every one of us. Which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, verse 23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I don't think this doesn't have a capital S for spirit, which is what you think of when you see a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. But this says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your spirit, just like I went to Waltrip High School, and I've never seen any school that had a spirit like that. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. That's just the spirit. They won everything in the city nearly. I mean, the band, the football team, the basketball team. I guess they did in track also. And all the students would be there. We had a pep rally that would be worth paying to go to. Of course, you wouldn't pay. And that's what I think when I see the spirit of your mind. It was up. We were all up. We were all excited on game day. We had an auditorium that would probably seat at least 400. And the band was down there right at the end. They had a big deck there where they would give plays and all this, curtains and all that. Cheerleaders were up on that. The band was there, and all the students were in the chair. And we had gray pants, in red blazers. A football player, you had those on every time we played. And so we would be right at the doors. The doors were shut and everything. We were in line, and all of a sudden, those doors would open, and they had seats for us down on the front right-hand side. And we started going in there, da 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 da. I mean, it was just chaos, screaming, and the band, and the cheerleaders were jumping all around. Well, that gave us spirit. I mean, we already had some spirit, but I'm just trying to tell you, that's what it was like. That's what I think of in this, is that you have to put away the old self, Ephesians 4:22, with all of its corruption and so forth, that you be renewed in spirit of your life. Because once you are saved and your spirit of your mind has been renewed, all those negative things, all those sins, all those things that are on the dark side aren't appealing to you. If you have when you're renewed in the spirit of your mind. So by the renewing of your mind, the word mind is nous, N-O-U-S. It's a genitive singular masculine. It's a noun. Genitive means that it is the subject of the sentence. It's a singular and masculine. So here is the definition. It's the second one down. They had about four of them. Way of thinking, mind, attitude, as the sum total of the whole mental and moral state of being. And then a subpoint, as possessed by every person. Now, I have a short little part here, then I'm going to have a longer part. I had to cross something else out for this to be accurate, but you'll see as we get there. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we spend a long time on being transformed, and now being transformed by the renewing of your mind, which comes about when Christians have their natural nous, that means mind, penetrated and transformed by the Spirit, notice capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, which they receive, and you see what I had to mark out, baptism. This person that I got this from said that you are transformed by the Spirit, which they receive at baptism. That's simply not true. That's not when it happened. And so I changed it to when Christians have their natural nous, that is mind, penetrated and transformed by the Spirit which they receive when they reach spiritual maturity by consistently taking in Bible doctrine. That is when the soul has been penetrated and transformed by the Holy Spirit, not when you're baptized. Now, this is fairly long, but I'm going to show you this in print, and then I'm going to show you the PowerPoint. And by the time we get to the bottom of this one, you're going to be thinking, you're trying to connect all the dots. And then I have the PowerPoint right underneath it, and then putting the two together, hopefully it will mesh. The soul has essence, even though it is invisible and immaterial. By the way, this is a quote from R.B. Fee Jr. at Baraka's Church for 50 years. This is why the Bible says that man was created in the image of God. God has essence, which is invisible and immaterial. And we have essence that is invisible and immaterial as well, and we call it the soul. The invisible and immaterial essence of God is similar to the fact that man's real being is immaterial and invisible. The soul is located somewhere in the cranium, and this is the most protected part of the human body. Now, I think that's conjecture. I mean, we're not sure that it is in the cranium because you can't see it. And we don't have any machines that will, let you know where that is. The soul is located somewhere in the cranium, and this is the most, you know, your head, your skull is, well, some people have a thicker skull than others, but it's really protecting, you know. That's why they always want you to put on a helmet, because if something happens to your brain, you're in bad shape. So the first characteristic of the soul is self-consciousness, which means you are aware of your own existence. You can take a dog, or you could take a tiger, or these animals, put them right there in front of a mirror, and they look at it, and even though everything that the animal is doing is copied, looking right back at them, they're not interested. They don't know what it is. They have no self-consciousness. So the first characteristic of the soul is self-consciousness, which means you are aware of your own existence. Secondly, there is mentality. The first part is called in the Greek, the nous, N-O-U-S, which is generally translated mind. The other part of the mentality of the soul is called cardia. That's K-A-R-D-I-A in the Greek, and it is translated in the King James Version as heart, H-E-A-R-T. Now, not the pump in our chest, it's talking about the mentality of the soul, part of it. So, heart and mind make up the mentality of the soul. The left lobe is where information is first received, and there it becomes objective knowledge. So you have a left lobe and a right lobe, and this is saying on the left lobe is first receives information, and there it becomes objective knowledge. This is the only place where things start. That place is the heart or the right lobe. So you have a left lobe and a right lobe, and I think your left lobe, somebody might correct me on this, I think you would think the left lobe would be here and right lobe here, but I think they're swapped for some reason, I don't know. But there's two of them, and we're talking about what they do. So that place is the heart or the right lobe. Everyone has the mentality of the soul, the final objective for all information, which is the heart. So wherever this starts, it is going. The goal is to get it to the heart, which is the dominant portion of your soul. And now we get to Operation Z. Some of you have seen this. Some of you haven't. Let's see. Is it here? I'm just going to bring this up. I have it in another place, but this will suffice. Right here. Okay. I think you can see it better here. See that better? Okay, this is called Operation Z. Now, we don't have to see what's down below here yet. But we saw it on the far left side. By the way, you see the red Z? That's why they called it Operation Z. I used to be in front of that TV screen every time Zorro was on. And our Zorro, when he first started the show, like that, remember that? Anyway, we start with the Word of God, whatever it may be. And, of course, the Greek word for that is logos, L-O-G-O-S, the Word, and taught by a PT, by a pastor, teacher, usually. It doesn't have to be, but most of the time it is. And it goes to the right, and what we see here, you've heard me talk about the grace system of perception, that we can understand the whole realm of doctrine. You see that right after Operation Z. It doesn't matter what your intelligence is or your education or anything. This is the way the Word of God goes through its paces to get it into your cardia. And when we go to the bottom of this, you'll see what I'm talking about. So I'm teaching, I'm giving you these words, and those words go into, it goes to the human spirit on the right. And it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that takes the word you hear and it goes to your human spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that's carrying it there. And the human spirit in the Greek is called pneuma. The P is silent. It's P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. And then we, from the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go up here a bit. It's transferred from the Holy Spirit down to the nous. Now, what was the nous? The mind. And so it's automatically transferred by the Holy Spirit to the soul, and the nous is the soul. And so our mind in this case. And you see this word here? This pneumatikos, right on the bottom side of this arrow, is spelled P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. And when I was at the conference, the Safer Conference, they handed out a book about this big, fairly thick, and Schaefer is putting out its own journal entries. There's thousands of entries that goes, and there's a lot of different. There's a Biblio Sacra Sacra, and there are what's the name of those? The Free Grace Movement has journals, but this is the first time Schaefer Conference had journals, and I have one at home that I'm going to look into. And you know what the title of it is? Pneumatika. That's what we saw here, because it's information in there, the journal. I mean, other types of things have journals, and if you want to read something about medicine, they have journals. This is what they have with regards to a theology. But anyway, so far the pastor teaches the word, the Holy Spirit takes it into your human spirit. By the way, you don't have a human spirit until you believe of the gospel, then you acquire a human spirit. This human spirit takes it down to the nous, the mind. And the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, means knowledge. And so when you're hearing the word, it's taught go to the human spirit, pneumatikos automatically brings it down. That's knowledge or information. And it goes to your mind, the nous. Now, the mind, there was one part in here, let me go back up here, I got to go back up here. When he said, here it is. See right here where I put my finger there? The left lobe is where information is first received. There it becomes objective knowledge. Keep that in your mind, objective knowledge. That means when you hear something that has been taught, it goes to your human spirit, now it's in your nous, your mind, it's objective. That means you heard it and you understand it. Now, what are you going to do with it? That's the main thing. When it goes to the human spirit and gets to, let me go back over here now. And we're down here at the nous. It means that information is understood. Now, sometimes you'll ask a question. It's not that you have everything perfectly, but it means that you can understand it. It was filtered through your human spirit. And now the question is, what are you going to do with it? If you really aren't into it, you're just here because somebody talked you into it, or you're not really inclined to concentrate on what is actually taught, what has brought come down through the pneumatika. What do you do when you hear something, someone teaching, and you're not really into it? What do? You simply just dismiss it. It's not going to go in your long-term memory. You're not going to do anything with it. It falls dead right there because you're not interested or a number of things. So it's objective knowledge. However, if you believe that information, it's going to be transferred to the second part of your soul, which is the heart, the cardia. And so you see there it says transferred by faith through the Holy Spirit. So if you really want to know that and you believe it, it goes into the place in your brain where it's literally filed there. It's there. And where is it? It goes through the heart. So let's say you believe it. By the way, you don't feel any of these things. These have just been trying to show what happens. And most people say it's a mystery, we don't know, but this is a good shot at it here. So if you believe it, it goes into your heart, and then the cardia is your heart, and it's called epinosis knowledge. Look at the left side, the green. It says gnosis knowledge. Gnosis knowledge just simply means information or knowledge that you understand. That's all. However, epinosis, see the EPI, means full or usually full. And the gnosis is the same. And epinosis means that you have believed it and now it becomes who you are. I have a pastor friend that taught, what was it? He had a title for it about the brain and the synapses and how everything works in the brain. It's amazing what goes on. And he said it's only the epinosis knowledge, full knowledge, knowledge that is there because you believed it and now it is filed away. And that is where you grow. That's where you learn. If you're not interested, it just is dismissed and it doesn't do any good. But if you believe it, it automatically becomes full knowledge. Have you ever talked to someone before and you got into what they would call religion and you knew there was something back in your mind that you heard this taught or you read it somewhere and you are face to face with someone and you know maybe they're an unbeliever or maybe they're embracing a false doctrine and you want to get to that information because you just can't verbalize it. Sometimes that happens. It's right there at on your tip of your tongue and you say it. Well, what you've done is taken this epinosis knowledge and it was in your brain, and whenever you're trying to think of something in that category, then your brain brings that category around and takes it and brings it right into your conscious knowledge. You know, all of us have something in our mind nearly all the time. But when we think something, it's when you, this literally what happens, is when you think of something, you want to talk about it, you want to bring it out of its file or wherever it is, then the brain knows a category of issues and it'll take it and bring it to you. Now, sometimes it does. The older you get, the less it does that. I mean, it does it more. But, by the way, the Holy Spirit is our mentor. All I am is a mouthpiece. It's the Holy Spirit that makes the things that you have epinosis knowledge about because you believe they are true. He is the one that will take and put it where it needs to be. And he's the one who is opening your mind to the teaching that you're given. And he's also the one that if something is being taught and it doesn't smell right, he's the one that shows you that. He is the true teacher. So anyhow, that's what I have just... I'll go over here. All of this I said here, all these words here, are shown on a chart like this. Are y'all getting it? So as you hear these words, as you hear these words, well, I thought I was going to make it without a fight with the computer tonight. Okay, so it goes from the pastor. The Holy Spirit takes it over to the human spirit. And then it goes down into your nous or your mind. Pneumatikos, that's information transferred by the Holy Spirit to the part, this part of the soul. And a lot of times you discount it or you're not interested and it's gone. But if you do believe it, it goes to your heart. And the heart is the main, that's the dominant portion of your soul. It's who you are. So, anyway, any questions before I move on? Okay. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 51:10. Psalm 51:10. We're only going to read this one verse, but I want you to go there anyway because we've got to read Psalm 103, 1 through 5 after this. So you can go to it in your Bible or you can look up on the board. Psalm 51:10. I just noticed that I have to go to it too. Well, this is thin paper. Okay. Psalm 51:10, and we'll start with verse 1. Psalm 51 has a pericope. It says, a contrite sinner's prayer for pardon. For the choir director, a psalm of David when Nathan, the prophet, came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. If you don't know what that's about, it is a dilly. But we're not going to go into that now. Verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Chesed in the Hebrew. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against you, and you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Before I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin, and my mother conceived me. And that's not the verse I wanted. I don't know what happened to that one. Let me see if it's 150. Well, I have here. Oh, well, verse 10. Okay, thank you. I was thinking that I was looking down on the next one. See the 1 through 5. That's where why I went to 1 through 5. But we'll just keep going till we get to verse 10. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's where I was going. So he's asking the Lord to create a new steadfast spirit within him. So it had to do with his spirit. Now I want you to go to 103, Psalm 103, and we'll just do 1 through 5. Okay, 103. I don't know how I ever got out of algebra. I don't like numbers. Okay, Psalm 103. Praise to the Lord's mercy, a psalm of David. Verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, y'all probably know this, but just in case you don't, or people that are live streaming, when it says bless, we don't bless the Lord, we praise the Lord. So that's the way I see it. Every time I see bless the Lord, I'm thinking praise the Lord. The Lord blesses us, we praise him. So it could be praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefit, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness, that's the chesed again, and compassion. Now, verse 5 is the one we're going to go a little further with. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to run with that for just a moment. We're through with looking at the Bible for right now. First of all, I found something from J. Vernon McGee that I thought was good. And I have it here, and then we're going to talk about eagles. This is from J. Vernon McGee, Bible Commentary. I was very amused one day when I saw a faith healer on television. In fact, I was shocked because the picture I had seen of her looked very much like that of a high school girl. What I saw on television was not a high school girl. God had not renewed her youth. And this is what he's talking about, what it means when we have, actually what I probably should do, I'll go ahead and finish this, but this is talking about the next verse that I have. Anyway, he saw this woman before, a picture of her, and it looked like she's in high school, and now he's seeing her on TV, and she didn't look like a high school girl anymore, and then he says, God had not renewed her youth. That will take place during the millennium. Are y'all all understand that? Because when we are in the millennium, even sooner than that, when we are resurrected, when Christ returns, these bodies that have, wrinkles and things that make you look old, those will all be gone. We'll have a brand new body, and it will look youthful. I mean, you're not going to have, I'll probably have more hair maybe, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't bother me. In fact, he says, I have a new body coming to me. I don't have it yet, but one day in the future it will be mine. And we can say the same thing. And teenagers, I was just like the teenagers they are now. When we would talk about other people, other kids, we didn't talk about grown-ups. We just talked about teenagers. And if we saw some really good-looking gal, the guys would get together. Oh, you know, she's really hot. And so that's immaturity. The older you get, the less important that you're trying to impress people with your looks. I mean, I'm that way. I don't know if you are or not, but I think if you're 100 years old, you're not going around trying to impress people with your looks. You might impress them with your age, but not with your looks. So that's what he's thinking it was. But now let's go to what we have here. The last thing that we said, it says here, this is why I said, and when I went to verse 5, I'm going to expand on it some. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. You don't have to go here. I've got it right here before. Now, with what I just said in mind, Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31 says this. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Sounds pretty good so far, huh? Verse 30. Though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, verse 31, yet those who wait on the Lord, will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Now that is parallel to what we saw in verse 5, that we would be renewed like the eagles. Now I'm going to say something about eagles. The long-lived eagle symbolized strength and speed, which is comparable to human youth who are lacking compared to the eagle, who demonstrate to older people that they can have the strength and speed of eagles when they wait on the Lord. So what I'm saying is, what we saw in this verse and up there in Psalm 104, verse 5, is talking about eagles, and now in Isaiah 40, it's talking about the youth usually have strength, and they're vigorous, they have energy, they have all these things. But compared to an eagle, they grow weary and tired. Vigorous young men stumble badly. Now, what I'm saying, he's saying this because he says, yet those, now that's one part. His point is that the eagles live a long time, and the youth, who are usually vigorous, stumble badly and they get weary. Now, verse 31. Yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Who is he talking about? Older people. Okay, well, how does this work? Okay, I've got it explained right here. The long-lived eagle symbolized strength and speed, which is compared to human youth who are lacking. That's what I was talking about. They lack. They're not as strong. They're not as fast and all as the eagles. Compared to human youth who are lacking compared to the eagle, to demonstrate. This verse did that to demonstrate to older people that they can have strength and speed of eagles when they wait on the Lord. And if you wanted to change that word, wait to trust, that's okay. It's the same thing. He never grows, he never grows tired or weary. So when we trust in him, we acquire his endurance and strength to overcome our testing and troubles. Is that important? Of course it is. He wants us to know this, that we have the strength and speed of an eagle, even though the young people are falling by the wayside. But notice again, I said this pretty profoundly last time, and that is for those who wait on the Lord. He never grows tired or weary. That is the Lord. So when we trust in Him, we will acquire His endurance and strength to overcome our testing and trouble. In other words, I've made it a little clearer in this next part. These verses have nothing to do with physical strength or power, but refer to spiritual strength and power. That's what you need to understand. Because most problems, if you're weary, or if you are, things aren't going as fast as you want, or things of that sort, it doesn't matter if you can run faster or what you can do. In other words, what I'm talking about is even though he's demonstrating his point through physical things, it's not the physical that he's talking about. These verses have nothing to do with physical strength or power, but refers to spiritual strength and power. When we ask the Lord for deliverance and are waiting for Him to act, the Holy Spirit provides us with the patience, grit, and endurance we need to pass the test. And that's what that verse is about. Now, you'll see, I'm going to read that one more time because I think that's somewhat profound. The verses that we just read here is talking. Everything in that is talking about the physical, but it's really is talking about the spiritual. These verses have nothing to do with the physical strength or power, but refer to spiritual strength and power when we ask the Lord for deliverance, and we ought to be asking the Lord for deliverance all the time. Unless I'm just a big bad person and get myself into troubles and I'm the only one that ever does that. I don't think that's the way it is. It's not the way it should be. It doesn't have to be some big monstrous thing that happened. You can ask him to be delivered at any time for any reason. So if you ask the Lord to deliver you, is he going to do it? Yes, he is. In His time and in His way. So, He's going to deliver us, and we are waiting for Him to act. You just don't say, okay, Lord, I got into this thing. I don't know how to get out. It's not good, whatever you want to say to Him. And you're putting it in His court. Whoop. Went under the thing. Okay, maybe I'll keep them on. Where was I? Okay, so when we ask the Lord for deliverance, He's going to deliver us. But in the meantime, we're waiting for Him to act. During that time is when the Holy Spirit provides us with the things we need in order to pass the test. What happens if you don't have the Holy Spirit's provision, which is what I'm about to tell you in just a minute what it is, you're not going to pass the test. So you're waiting for the Lord to act. The Holy Spirit provides us with patience, grit, and endurance so that we can pass the test. And you cannot pass it on your own power. What we say is power is not power. It's nothing. Now, the reason you see I have grit with an asterisk there. Now, that's not because I watch Grit all the time. I do like Grit, but that's not what it's about. I thought somebody might think, well, what is grit doing in here? Here's the definition, the fourth definition of grit. Firmness of mind or spirit. Unyielding courage in the face of hardships or danger. That is a good definition, and it is the Holy Spirit that provides that for us when we are waiting for the Lord to act. We are all born physically alive but spiritually dead. Our minds desperately need to be renewed so that we can put the old self, put off the old self, and put on the new self. Does everyone here know, do you know what the new self and the old self is? Okay. Well, in Ephesians chapter 22, verse 24, is what will explain this. And I better hurry. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Now, I chopped off some of the front because it didn't need it. And I'm trying to get right to the heart of it. That in reference to your former manner of life, that means before you were saved, you used to do things that would embarrass hell. I know I did. You'd lay aside the old self. That's the old self that did not know Jesus Christ. The old self that before you believed the gospel, before you know what you know now, that was the old self. Have you ever had people ask you, would you like to go back in time when you were in junior high or high school or something like that? I've been asked that several times, and my answer is always the same. I said, yes, I would like to do it if I could take the knowledge that I have now with me. It doesn't work that way. But anyway, if that shows you the old self is not very appealing. So you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Then verse 23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That sounds like what we heard in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, doesn't it? It says the same thing, the renewing of your mind. And put on the new self. How do you put the new self on? Yeah. You put the new self on by, we're talking about the mind. And I don't know about your mind, but mind is, well, let me put it this way. If I tried to introduce my new self to my old self, neither one would know the other one. That far, they're that much different. And so it's talking about being renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. And Scott rightly said, you put on the new self. In fact, what we're doing right now is putting on the new self, maintaining the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we started up here. Renewing of your mind. That's one phrase. But it had a lot to go with it, didn't it? What happens if we don't keep renewing ourselves? I think the best way to not renew yourself is to quit taking in God's word and just backslide. By the way, if you're not renewing your mind, it's dormant, and no one is strong enough. Not getting any biblical nourishment, not getting the power of the Holy Spirit, no one can survive and stay intact, especially your relationship with the Lord. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. That can't happen. But we can lose our relationship with the Lord by not renewing our mind. And that's why I'm certain that's why all of you are here and those who are online are here. It's because they want to keep on renewing their mind because they don't want to backslide and get into reversionism and all the horrible things that are out there. But they love the Lord so much, they want to know Him more and more. And that helps strengthen our relationship with the Lord. And I don't know how I did it, but I stopped right at 7 o'clock. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that Your Word penetrates way into us. And we need to heed what we hear, what we learn. There's never a time in our lifetime that we will have so much doctrine that we can say, oh, we don't need any more, we've got it all. Far from that. We're just hitting around the edges, just getting little pieces here and there, because it is it's so vast. We pray that you will help us to think about these things, about renewing our minds, and act on that in a way that would be pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.